A te mach bea unsio la bo. Inama ka, e teo hib, naik teo galapik dehe. Unsio la bo. Wi ohi opa te tatranko e ate kola unsio la bo. Wazieta he chako e ate, unsio la bo. Wi ohi opa te sinte saplo e ate, kola unsio la bo. Itoka rata, hi hao ea te, unsio la po. Na trunkashila o kantranka, na unh umpi na unsio la po, na unkia po. Mitakwe oyasi. In the lives of traditional Lakota people, prayer is very central. And there are all kinds of prayers like there are in a lot of other religions. But most of our prayers acknowledge the forces and influences and powers in our lives, and ultimately we acknowledge the most powerful thing of all, and that's God the Creator. We open our prayers by acknowledging first the sky, Father Sky, Ate Machpia, and then Mother Earth, Ina Maka, from whom we come and to whom we're all going to eventually return. And then we begin by acknowledging the four corners of the earth, and the people who live there, and the powers who live there. We begin in the west. Weyokhpeata is the west, and the people who live there are the buffalo people, Tatranka, and they are the most powerful being on the plain. So we acknowledge that power, and we acknowledge the symbiotic relationship that we as Lakota people had with those people, those beings. And then from there we go to the north, to the elk people, and then to the east, to the black-tailed deer people, and then to the south, the owl people. Itoka rata hihawayate means the owl people. And then we end by praying directly to the Creator, Tonkashila. Tonkashila is our word for grandfather, and it's in a way that we address Wakantranka. We ask that he hear us, and that he take pity on us, and he help us. And the final phrase in all these prayers is Mitakoye Oyasi, meaning all my relations or all my relatives, and not just our human relatives or our two-legged relatives, but everything that dwells on the earth and in the earth and above it, because we believe that everything is connected by creation. No one is better or worse than any other creature or being. So hence the phrase, all my relatives. This is both a formal and informal greeting in the Lakota language. Colloquially, it means I take your hand in friendship. Literally, it means with a good heart I shake your hand. My name is Joseph Marshall III, but I also have a traditional name, Ohitia Otrain. Ohitia Otrain means they have heard of his courage. It's a loose translation. It's a name that goes several generations back in one side of my family. And it was given to a young man who was killed, a relative who was killed in World War II in 1945. And it was passed on to me when I was just a child. I vaguely remember the ceremony in which that naming was done. But it's a name that I carry proudly. I haven't earned it, but I try to make sure that I don't dishonor it. On my father's side, I'm Oglala Lakota and part French. On my mother's side, I'm Sichangu Lakota. On my father's side, there are names like Rubidoux, which is French, and our family name was originally Marichal, which I was told one time by someone who knows that it means one who cares for horses in French, which is sort of in keeping with the other part of my heritage, because horses are a large part of the Lakota heritage. But this is who I am. And this book is all about that viewpoint, about who I am and what I am. Part of the book is about identity. But overall, it's a book about wisdom. Not because I'm wise. I haven't reached that point yet in my life. Someday I hope I will. But it's a book about wisdom and a discussion of wisdom, and hopefully an insight into wisdom, because I have benefited from the wisdom of others. And I know that wisdom played a great part, a great role in how I developed as a human being and as a person and as a complete person. I was fortunate to grow up among a lot of elders. My mother was 16 when I was born, and because of that and other circumstances, she gave me over to her parents, my maternal grandparents, to raise. So I was raised by them. I grew up speaking only Lakota at first, and I really didn't begin to learn English until I was 8, and I didn't go to school until I was 8. But because of that upbringing, because of my childhood, and because of who and what my grandparents were, I benefited from it and from their wisdom. My grandparents were in their late 50s and early 60s when I came into their lives. And they were part of the Horse Creek community on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation, the northern part. We also lived in another district or community called Swift Bear. And in those two communities, they were friends or were related to people who were 50, 60, and 70 years old and older. So as their child, in a sense, I also had access to all of those old people. And those old people were not only a storehouse, a vast storehouse of information and knowledge, they were also a source of wisdom. I grew up hearing stories about what their parents and their grandparents experienced giving up the nomadic hunting life and being the first generation to live on a reservation. So I got a sort of a secondhand sense of what that experience was like. And I also heard their own stories about their own lives, what it was like to be the first generation of people, of Lakota people on a reservation, and how that impacted them. So all of these things contributed to what and who I am. So part of the book is about identity, but overall it's about wisdom and how all the other topics that are part of this book fit into the whole gamut of what wisdom is and should be and how we should be able to identify it and use it in our own lives.